Good morning. We are continuing through the summer to have our nursery open and also preschool. So if you've got one of those in those ages or multiples in those ages, we'll take older ones too. I can come in there. That will be great. Hogan is gonna wrangle the preschool class in the space room. So again, if you want to be a part, we're gonna have those areas open throughout the summer for those age groups, and then pick back up for our older kids for the Sunday school. Pick back up then in the end of the summer, going into fall. We have been in uncharted territory the last 3 weeks. Nathaniel guided us through a study of the book of Jonah, and it was really interesting to see, Jesus says, I will give the sign of Jonah, and so looking at that the last several weeks, it was cool to have him guide us through that. And so now we have set sail for the book of Acts. We've come through Luke, the Gospel of Luke. The writer is the physician Luke, and then he continues on in this next saga, this next chapter, this next book to unfold for us then after the ascension, after the resurrection, the ascension of Christ, and then how those believers then the Holy Spirit we'll see soon came as a comforter and guider, and how with that power then the New Testament church as we know it had unfolded, and how they began to live out the mission. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the mission that God has, that Jesus gave them during that last few words or for a few moments on earth. So we are going to be in Acts, starting in chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 1 through 11, and we'll read it here in just a second. But what's going to be a little bit different in Acts, although it's the same writer, it reads a lot like a story. And I can tell you, as a new believer years ago, opening the Bible and reading through different things, I really gravitated to the book of Acts because it read like a story and gave account. So it's going to be a little bit different maybe than the gospel, in the sense of it's this continuation and story of how things unfolded. But it's easy to read, and so I would encourage you as we go through this to read ahead and read behind as we study through that, and you'll be able to see really what's going on. So I'm going to start. If you are able and willing, if you would stand with us, we're going to read straight through the first 11 verses, God's Word this morning. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." That's God's word. So we read his scripture together this morning. So I'm excited to start this study in Acts. It's just a unique book. It provides, it's really a source book of how that early believers and how that spread from that one nucleus point to where we're sitting here today. And so it gives us the beginning, and if without Acts, we catch some glimpses in Paul's writing of how that kind of spread city to city and a little bit of history on some of the churches, but Acts truly gives us the main source of seeing how that transpired. And it's this story, an account of the spreading of this flame of the Holy Spirit and tracing the work of the Spirit through its birth, infancy, and adolescence of the church. Many call it the Acts of the Apostles. It could very easily be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And Acts forms this perfect counterpart and contrast to the gospel. See, in the gospel, the Son of Man offered his life, and in Acts, the Son of God offers his power. In the gospels, we see the original seeds of Christianity being planted. In Acts, we see this growth begin and this continual growth of the church. The gospels tell us of Christ crucified and risen, and Acts speaks of Christ ascended and exalted. The gospels model for us, as we've been the last several years studying this Christian life, and through seeing how that life was lived by the perfect man in Jesus, both fully God and fully human. And now Acts, it's going to model it differently, similar but differently. We'll see that lived out in the lives, but it won't be through a perfect man, but yet his followers, who we know are fully human and in then imperfect. But the study of Acts is particularly important because it teaches us, in my opinion, how to live a life. How to live a life full, ultimately, of true adventure and glorify and please God. If we take these passages that we're going to look at this morning and really do them to the way God calls us to, life is glorifying, pleasing to Him, and is an adventure. Author of Acts, again, is Luke, the physician. He begins in the first couple of verses referencing the Gospel of Luke that he wrote, and he's writing to Theophilus again. In my former book, he tells him, I wrote about all the things Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. And after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And then verses in 3 through 5, Luke continues with some new information as he tells him something more of the time after Christ's resurrection. And this is really the only writer that talks about an actual time period that Jesus spent, and where we know that he had spent 40 days after the resurrection before the ascension. Luke writes, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom. So Jesus appeared at intervals, showing these miraculous signs and instructing his disciples about the kingdom of God. And I have to believe that this picture of those 40 days was one of excitement, of this unfolding mystery, suspense, of anticipation, because you know that they're asking these questions. Lord, are you going to restore? Are you going to restore the kingdom? And he tells them in verses 4 and 5, one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So these had to be conversations like you're just in utter awe and wonder of what